Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, it's the end of the quarter. The weather is warm, or at least we think it is. The tests are all over, or will be shortly. All of your papers are in, and you're as free as a bird, right? Or have you given up free time for Lent? Sometimes it seems so, doesn't it? Even when it isn't Lent, doesn't it? There's all the readings you have to do, the classes, the research, all the Gemütlichkeit sessions you are required to attend, then field work, seminary, and churchly paperwork, meetings, interviews, and then the work you have to do to help your spouse support your family. Family, did I say? Family? They thought that snow days and school delays were great, didn't they? It seemed like often they seek you out and they say everybody is looking for you. In our text, that's what they said to Jesus. Jesus is having one of those days. He kicks it off at the Sabbath service, casting out a demon. He then goes to Peter's house as a guest and heals his mother-in-law. Then when the Sabbath is over, they start to bring out all the sick and the demon-possessed in town. He heals them, he casts out demons, and even cleanses a leper. Yet even that's not enough. He can't even get away to pray alone. Yet he could handle it. Often, we cannot. You see, we sometimes have a hard time keeping up just with modern life, much less with ministry. Our world is a place full of burdens, and it seems as if no one has any time for them whatsoever. There are the normal things of being able to put food on the table and keep the sidewalk clean in the winter and the car running summer and winter. There are all the things around us as people get sick and ill, and even though they end up on Oprah or on Dr. Phil, still most people have their needs ignored because, you see, everybody is just a little bit too busy. There are places to go, things to do, ball games to watch, and we have little time for those who grow up in broken families, whose families are set aside and made even harder to live with because their loved ones have been shipped overseas in order to defend our nation from its enemies. There is little place for people who get sick and ill because it's becoming, thanks to the blessings of God and modern science, even less and less frequent in our day and age. People are pushed aside, burdens ignored, and even pastors and deaconesses are expected to smile every Sunday morning no matter what is thrown at them and no matter what they're dealing with, not only in their own lives, but in the lives of all of the people God has called to serve them to serve. You see, the world may be a place full of burdens, but people seem to think that pastors and deaconesses and church workers are exceptions. But they're not. We too are human beings living in a human world, and as life gets busy, sometimes in ministry, it can get even busier. I don't know if any of your professors have told you about one of those weeks that comes up in ministry. One stands out to me that was kicked off one morning very early at 3 o'clock in the morning when a policeman was knocking on the window of the parsonage because one of the members of the congregation was dying. I spent the whole evening with the family while that individual went to a peaceful and God-blessed death. But that weekend, his granddaughter was to be confirmed. But not only that, there was a wedding and a baptism and a circuit conference also that week. And yet, somehow God got me through it and will get you through one after another. But these weeks are not exceptions. In church history, we have told about even worse. There was one year in the early history of the seminary in 1849 when cholera struck the whole Midwest. In Fort Wayne, it killed a full third of the population of the city of Fort Wayne. The people at St. Paul's, the pastors, the preachers, all of the seminary students were in constant motion as 60 members of a 1,000-member parish were sick and ill. When it was all over, One of the beloved professors, a young man very popular, passed away from cholera, immediately followed by the man who buried him. Sometimes the weeks and the days in ministry can become long and weary, and you thought it was bad when you had a scare assignment to do. In addition to our own, God will call us to bear the burdens of others. And most of the time, we do that with a great deal of strength and courage and purpose. After all, that's why you become a pastor, is to be helpful to people, to serve God, to preach them, and to comfort them at the gospel when they need to it. But we are not super Christians, you know, super Christian, faster than a speeding temptation, more powerful than 1,000 demons, able to lift tall burdens with a single prayer. We're not, because we fail. We are human, and our strength comes to an end. And no matter how hard we push, sooner or later, that strength is going to give out. It's at times like that that the words that Jesus speaks to us can be also applied to us as pastors and deaconesses as well. Come to me, he says, all who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Our burdens, you see, are not our burdens alone, even though sometimes we think they are. Our strength is not our strength alone, even though we think it's all up to us. Our abilities are not just our own abilities, even though we think that that's why we were called and why we're being paid the big bucks. You see, it is Jesus who wants to bear our burdens, because after all, they belong to him. It is his ministry that he places us in. It is his people that he calls us to care for. It is his world that he seeks to save. And it is through us that he intends to do so. Before we were even born, he saw these burdens that we would bear. He bore our heaviest burden on the cross itself, where he brought our sin and our sickness and our illnesses, our disease and our death, and nailed it to the cross with him, so that the power of sin, Satan, and our flesh was broken once and for all, and so that he could not only forgive our sins and restore us, but provide us the strength of his own Holy Spirit to be able to bear up under the burdens he would call us to do. When we are stressed, it is good to remember that we're not in this by ourselves. Jesus himself, the Jesus who was busy all day in Galilee that day, and ever since then, even from the throne of heaven, is there to help us. He is there to give us strength when we have yet one more parishioner to see in the hospital. He is there to help us when we have yet one more thing to do at home. He is there when we cry out with Luther, Lord, you have made me a pastor and teacher of the church, but you know how unfit I am for this great and responsible office. He is there with his good gifts and spirit so that his ministry might be done through us. And you know what? In moments like that, when we surrender these things and these ministries and these problems to Jesus, we discover an amazing amount of strength we didn't know we ever had. We find words of wisdom we never thought were possible. We find people comforted by the gospel, even when our words stumble and when we put the wrong foot in front of the other and we think that we have done the worst possible thing. It is said that there once was a pastor leaving town. There had been a person annoying him about all of his failings and sins for 2 or 3 weeks on end, but he never ever bothered to come to church. On his way out of town, he stopped in a convenience store to get some things for the road, and here was this guy complaining to him. Rather than deal with him yet one more time, he said, you know, what your problem is you're a damn sinner, and that you're going to hell, and nothing is going to help that because you won't even bother to come to church to hear Jesus. And he stomped out, feeling very guilty the whole vacation. But when he came back, the man was in church. Having heard the law, he now heard the gospel. It is often, in spite of us, that God works. But as we turn our attention and our strength over to him, he works through us. And the day will come soon, and we can comfort ourselves with this, when we will be at rest, when the eternal Sabbath will begin, when either at the end of our time or at the end of time, Christ comes to claim us and bring us home and say, "Well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of your Father." On that day, all sin will come to an end, all sickness will be healed, all eyes will be dried of their tears, and we will live in the eternal joy of our Father forever and ever. Until then, when everybody comes looking for you, remember to go looking for Jesus also. Amen. And now may the peace of our Lord, which passes all human understanding, fill our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.